But you want you to remember, Scott, they called him, he's been down there to preach. He was there 2 or 3 weeks ago. They called him to come back and preach. Now, I don't know about the particular call that they have, but anyway, they did call him wanting to come back. But anyway, remember him in that. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Boy, I thought for a while Brother Titus was going to preach my message tonight. But he got in talking there about loving the Lord, and we surely need to love him more as we preached last night. We want to preach tonight on the subject, have you lost your wonder? Have you lost your wonder? Thank you, Brother Titus. We want to look here in the book of Matthew chapter 18. Begin reading at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Read that again. And said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What do you think that means? What do you all think that means? Now, we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven unless we understand what that means. You know what he's saying? Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt and maimed rather than having two hands or feet or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. Say, do you believe in angels? I sure do. I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit if it hadn't been for my guardian angels. You wouldn't either. But we want to look in verse 3, take our subject from that verse. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you lost your wonder? Have you lost your wonder? You know, I believe is what he's saying to us here tonight is that we need the heart of a little child. We need the heart of a little child. We need the heart of Amanda. We need the heart of a little child. You know, a little child never loses their wonder. They never lose their wonder. They never lose that amazement. Everything is such amazement to them. They never lose that excitement. Everything is so exciting. Y'all saw those two grandbabies that was here last week. Those grand boys. The grandest in the world. Brother Wayne disagrees with me with that, but some of you others probably do too. But they never lose their wonder. They never lose that excitement. Everything is so amazing to them. Everything is so exciting. It doesn't matter what I do. I mean, it's just, they're just so excited. You know. They never lose that. They never lose that surprise. I can stop and get them a little bubble gum. And I give that to them and they're so excited. You know. Didn't cost me but a nickel. Used to cost a penny. But they're just, they don't lose that. They don't lose that excitement. They don't lose that surprise. They don't lose that joyfulness. They're always just so jolly and so joyful. You know. And the Lord said that's the way we've got to be. That's the way that we ought to be toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're His little ones. Now what He said? We're His little ones. Run reference on that. See how many times that's mentioned. We're His little ones. And we ought to be excited. Everything ought to be an amazing thing to us. When we read the Word of God and study the Word of God and hear the Word of God preached, this is a service tonight that you have never been in before. Did you walk in the doors today and tonight and just so excited? What's going to happen tonight? Was you excited about coming to church tonight? I believe it ought to be that way every time we enter those doors. Who is the Lord going to save tonight? Who's going to get right tonight? What are we going to hear tonight? It ought to be we ought to be excited about serving the Lord. It ought to be amazement to us. There in Psalms 51, David made a statement there when he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He had lost that wonder. He had lost that wonder. And sin will cause that. Did you know that? When your life is not right with the Lord, you're going to lose something. You're going to lose that wonder. And He said, "Restore unto me the joy." I want that joy back again. You know, aren't you miserable when that joy is not there? When you start getting cold and backslidden and indifferent and away from the Lord, that is the most miserable time of your life. And then the Lord restores that joy. And then that amazement comes back. That wonder comes back. And you're happy and you're joyful. Let me take you back again tonight to when you were first saved. Y'all back there? What are y'all smiling about again for? You all should have been up here the other night when I said that. I mean, everybody was smiling. And then I said, the next statement I said, "Now where are you at today?" And everybody went. I mean, literally, that's what it was. That was the most joyful time of your life. It was the happiest time of my life. You know, we need to keep in mind what it cost the Lord to save our soul. There in 1 John it says, He first loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He first loved us. I didn't first love the Lord. He first loved me. In all of the sin that I was in, Jesus Christ loved me, and Jesus Christ came to me. I didn't come to Him. He came to me. He was concerned about me. He loved me. And He still loves me. And He's going to continue to love me. Isn't that amazing? You know, we have a tendency to stop loving. Or that love will dampen. Or that love will grow cold. His love is never like that. He loves us with an everlasting love. He just continues to love us, regardless of what we do. He loves us. He's grieved sometimes, the way we conduct ourselves. But He loves us. Do you know you're saved tonight? Say, Brother John, how in the world do you know that you're saved? I'll tell you the way I know I'm saved. One of the ways I know I'm saved. I was there when it happened. I was there when it happened. Is that excitement? Is that joyfulness? Is that amazement still there? Or has it diminished? I know, I realize I've been asking you all a lot of questions here the last couple nights. But you answer that. I can't answer that for you. Is that excitement, that joyfulness, that amazement, that wonder, is it there or has it diminished? Many have lost the wonder of their salvation. Lost the wonder of their salvation. That excitement, that amazement. Many have lost the wonder of their Lord. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. As we preached the other night, many have left their first love. The Lord isn't as precious to them as He used to be. We love Him because He first loved us. You used to love Him so much, you would even stand up and you would tell everybody how much that you love the Lord. And nobody even had to tell you to do it or try to talk you into doing it. It was there. You know, the Lord has been so good to us. You know, when you get discouraged and down and out and discouraged and backslidden a little bit, just stop just for a minute and think of how good the Lord's been to you. Is that overflowing joy for the Lord there as strong as it was when you were first saved? You know, I believe we need to get back. I believe we need a revival of this. I really do. Many have lost the wonder of their church. Does your church mean as much to you as it does, as it did the day that you joined it? Does it? When you were first saved and joined the church, you couldn't wait until it was time to go back to church. But now you got to drag yourself back into church. Nothing used to interfere with you going to church. You can now miss and it doesn't bother you. Now you dread going. You know what's happened? You've lost the wonder of your church. Listen, you will never, never, never regret putting your life in the church. The Lord said unto him, be glory in the church. You can't get around that. About a year ago, there was a couple that was disciplined from our church about 15 years ago. They came forward. They'd been coming for several months. And one Wednesday night, they came forward and said, Brother Jones, we're willing to do anything that we have to do to get back in fellowship with Faith Baptist Church. Whatever this church says that we've got to do, we are willing to do it. Because we have wasted 15 years of our life. The Lord told us that we are to bring honor and glory unto Him through the church, and we haven't done that. We have wasted those many years of not living for the Lord and serving the Lord in and through His church. And we're willing to do anything. I don't care what it is. We're willing to do anything that we have to do to get back in fellowship with this church. And I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they meant that. I said, church, what do they need to do? And one said, I entertain a motion, we receive them back. We forgive them. Second was made. 100% of the church voted to receive them back into fellowship of the church. Isn't that great? I appreciated that attitude. I believe that's the way it ought to be. You know, Jesus Christ loved His church so much that He gave His life for it. He shed His blood for His church. And the least we can do, if we're saved by the grace of God and we know that the Lord has added us to that church, the least we can do is serving in and through that church. I tell you what, we don't have a whole lot more time left to do that. Tell you what, I want to face the Lord with my life all right with Him. I really do. Many have lost the wonder of their church. How much do you love this church? How much do you love it? You know, actions speak louder than words. Don't they? Oh, I love you, honey. Oh, you say that all the time. A week later, you come in the house, put your arm around her, give her a great big old smack on the cheek. Honey, I love you so much. I don't believe I could live without you. And she turns around gives you a big old hug. Says, honey, I love you too. She believed it that time. How much do we really love Him? How much do we really love His church that He died for? Many have lost the wonder in their song service. Why? Have you ever wondered? Why do we sing songs in church? We sing to praise Him. We sing to honor Him. We sing because we're happy. We sing because we're joyful. We sing because we haven't lost our wonder. You ever come to song service? Sit there. Turn to page 15. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, it's easy to sing like that, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it? I mean, it's easy. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot, you know. But we come into church and to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, that takes a little bit more effort, doesn't it? Sometimes we'll come and we're setting a song service and we don't put anything more in the song service than, oh, how I love Jesus. You know what happens? You know what's going on when that's going on? We've lost our wonder. We've lost that excitement. I couldn't help it. I was sitting there watching Brother Larry leading, singing. And that's not the first time I've noticed it. I mean, when he's singing those songs, I mean, he's beaming from ear to ear. He's got a smile on his face while he's singing. And then he closed his eyes there a little bit while he was singing. I mean, he was putting all he had into it. And I believe he was meaning everything that he was saying. He was having a good time up here. You know? He was happy. He was thinking about what he was singing. And it brought joy to his heart. And he was expressing it with a smile. And with a joyful noise. And that's what the Lord said. Make a joyful noise. We sing because we're happy. We sing because we're joyful. We sing it because we're excited about singing these songs to His honor and His glory. My dad used to love to hear Brother Hubbs and watch him lead singing. I mean, he loved it to death. He was saved by the grace of God over in Jackson and came over where Brother Hamill was pastor, and he just loved to come and listen to Brother Hubbs lead the singing. Mention it more than once to me. He said, that guy loves the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. But we have a tendency to lose the wonder of our song service. Many have lost the wonder for the truth. Now you have a tendency to compromise the truth. Do you recall when the doctrines was such an amazement to you? They were such a joy to you, but now they're just old truths? Now they're a bore to you when the preacher preaches them? We ought to be enthused over the truth. You remember when the first time you heard eternal security, a message on eternal security of the believer? Once saved, always saved? Man, the first time I heard that, I thought, praise the Lord! I got more than what I thought. I thought I'd just saved, you know? That's all I knew for a while. I just knew I was saved and on my way to heaven. And boy, Brother Turner got him. He started preaching on eternal security of the believer. Once saved, always saved. I mean, I was underlining scriptures and everlasting life and eternal life. And I was circling and drawing lines out beside my Bible. Now we hear a message on eternal security of the believer. We say, oh man, we're going to hear this again? We know all about that. It ought to be an excitement to us. Oh no, not tithing again. It ought to be a blessing to us. It ought to be amazement to us to hear these truths preached over and over and over. Tell you what, you got a man of God today that'll preach you those truths. You got a very valuable thing. The Lord said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now that's what the Lord thinks about us, walking in truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, but buy the truth and sell it not. Did you ever hear Brother Overby say, I'll buy that? Huh? Y'all ever remember him saying? That's what he was saying. That's what he was referring to. That passage of Scripture right there. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hang on to it. Hang on to it. Don't let loose of it. At any cost. Don't sell out. I believe that's what that means. Listen, truth does not come cheap. It costs a whole lot for your pastor to get up and to preach the truths and stand upon the truths that he preaches. It does not come cheap. It's cost him dearly and his wife and his family to stand for the truth. It'll cost you. It doesn't come cheap. Buy the truth and sell it not. Have you lost the wonder of your prayer life? Many have lost the wonder of their prayer life. I had a fellow one time in one of the churches I pastored. I invited him to come to prayer band. You say, what in the world is a prayer band? Well, prayer band is when you band together and pray. If men get down to the basement and pray, we band together. Get off in a room and band together and pray. So I invite him to prayer band one Sunday night. He said, don't have anything to pray about. You know what I said? I said, brother, we'll pray that the Lord will give you something to pray about. You say, Brother Jones, you didn't. Yeah, I did. We all gathered together in prayer band. We all got seated. And about 2 minutes after we got all seated and got getting ready to give our request, the door opened. And the Lord gave him something to pray about. And he was there. Listen, the Lord can give you something to pray about. Y'all believe that? Don't get to the place where you don't have anything to pray about or think you don't have anything to pray about. Because God can give us something to pray about. We have lost the wonder of our prayer life. Have you lost the wonder of your pastor? Your pastor's wife? When he first came, boy, you really appreciated him. But after he's there for a while, he's ready for another one. Y'all shaking heads no about. It's easier to find fault with him now Boy, I believe Brother so-and-so, man, he would really make us a good pastor. He's not as interesting as he first was. You know, I've known some just to aggravate the preacher. I mean, they just thrive on just aggravating the preacher. If they knew that clipping their fingernails during while he was preaching would aggravate him, that's what they would do. I had a fellow in one church, he'd just sat there and he'd go. You know, all the time I was preaching. But if you knew that aggravated, that's what he'd do. If they knew that turning around and looking at the clock would aggravate me, that's what they'd do. Or they'd do one of these numbers. Oh! You know? Or they'd turn around and just look at the clock. I had a sign up in Traverse City underneath the clock. It's underneath the clock it said, "Remember Lot's wife." Or if they knew that sleeping would aggravate the preacher, that's what they'd do. About quarter two, they'd start. Do one of those numbers. I'm sure there's not a one here that's ever done that. Tell you what, when you start doing those things and you start having those thoughts, you know what's happened? You've lost the wonder of your pastor. Love your pastor. Love your pastor for the truth's sake. Encourage your pastor. Follow your pastor. I said this the other night, but I'm going to say it again. Pray for your pastor. Provide for your pastor. Several of you probably know Brother Mike Channel. He was saved under our ministry in Jackson, and he's back. He's now a member of our church again, doing mission work in Jackson out of the authority of our church. He came over one business meeting for our business meeting at church, and we got back. We was discussing some things, and he looks over at me, and he said, "Pastor, is there anything you need? How's your tires on your car?" "I'm fine, Brother Mike." "Is there anything at all you need?" He meant that. He was a member of our church in Jackson when we first started and started the mission there. When I, right after I lost my first wife and came down, we started the mission there and he was saved and joined the church and we had a hard time getting going. You know, they had a few members didn't have much money coming in, and we went away one day and come back home and looked over on the kitchen cabinet, and about 4 or 5 sacks of groceries, they're on the counter. You know what he's trying to do? Trying to take care of his pastor. He's trying to provide for his pastor. Listen, I don't believe you can do enough for your pastor. I really don't. The Lord said he's worthy of double honor. You know what that means? It says he's worthy. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of double pay. He's a gift from heaven to this church. You love him. Appreciate him. And let him know how much you appreciate him. And it won't hurt you to hug your pastor's wife's neck every once in a while and tell her how much you love her. Because she's in it with him. Been in it with him for, what, 70 years? Not quite. Almost. We love him. Appreciate him. We love him. I was sitting there the other night and just rejoicing that he asked me to come hold a meeting. Because I don't know if I'll be holding too many more for him or not. You know, Lord knows. But he's be 70 years old. But next week. And I thought, boy, thank you, Lord. And I love him. I appreciate him, and his wife both. And I'm sure you all do too. It shows that you do. Thank the Lord for him. But it's possible, listen to me. It's possible for you to lose the wonder of your pastor. And when you start thinking about those things that I just mentioned, those things, I trust the Lord to bring these things to your mind. Love him, appreciate him. Some have lost the wonder for their brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're not as dear to you as they used to be. You know, the Lord said, let brotherly love continue. If there ever was a time that we need to be close to one another, it's today. I believe that unity is essential. Don't let things divide. Don't let things split. You know, sometimes us Baptists can be pretty touchy. Can't we? Sometimes we can carry that chip right out here. And usually we'll put it right out here about Sunday morning. And just dare somebody to knock it off. Did you ever see that? And somebody come up and say something to you, and I mean it just gets, you know, just grinds you the wrong way, and bang, you just smack back real quick. We ought not do that. Love one another. Appreciate one another. Let one another know how much you care for them. You know, I believe we need to observe that doctrine of tolerance. We need to be a little more tolerant with one another. But you know what's happened? We've lost the wonder of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't let them bug you. That's what the devil wants you to do. Just love them. They say something or they do something that you don't like, love them. Just love them. Be tolerant with one another. You know, the Lord has a lot to say about that. I believe we've also lost the wonder of soul winning. We're not as enthused about seeing people saved as we used to. And the Lord tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, that's the pastor's job. No, that's the responsibility of every member of Home Baptist Church. Boy, I tell you what, the devil will probably fight in that area harder than anything. Just go knock on a door and invite somebody to come to church. People that you don't even know. Y'all ever try it? Huh? Old devil fights you with all within you, doesn't he? I've gone to that door many times. All the time I'm walking up that sidewalk, I think, man, I hope nobody's home. Or I'll go up there and I'll just go. Oh, nobody's there, let's go. It's a whole lot easier just to slip the track in the door, you know, or put it on a hook or a nail or something was hanging around there, you know, and it's a whole lot easier to do that. But I'll tell you what, there's no greater joy than to do that. When you're able to go and talk to them and ask them if they're saved by the grace of God, the Lord honors that. He blesses that. But you know what? We've lost our wonder of seeing people saved by the grace of God. We used to be burdened about lost souls, but something has happened to that burden. We used to be able to give more to missions, but something's happened. We've lost that wonder. You know, the Lord cared enough for us. He cared enough for us that He died for us. Jesus Christ went up on a hill, mountain one time, and he looked over Jerusalem and He started weeping. Started weeping. He was concerned about those people in Jerusalem. How concerned are you for the people right here in Mount Moritz and surrounding areas? Jesus was also concerned about the multitudes. You know, somebody was concerned about you. Did you know it? All right, I have two more thoughts. Many have lost the wonder of separation. Many have lost the wonder of separation. There used to be condemnation over worldliness in your life. You used to enjoy living godly for the Lord, but now you've lost your wonder. We would rather grieve the Holy Spirit than to offend the wicked. Now, did you understand that? We would rather grieve the Holy Spirit than to offend the wicked. We've lost the wonder of godliness. Why do we live godly? Why do we live separated lives? You know why? Because we love the Lord. That's what motivates you to be separated. That's what motivates you to live godly and want to talk godly and live godly. And stay out of places of worldly amusements. Well, I go in a bar, but I don't drink. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be there when the Lord comes back? How would you like to be living the way that you're living right now when the Lord comes back? Would you like for the Lord to come back right tonight in the condition that your life is in right now? Think about that. Right after I was saved, there's one of my buddies said, "Come on, Rod. Come on in here, Mitch is with me. I'll buy you a Coke." I says, "No way. No way." You know what would have happened if I would have done that? If I'd have walked in there and come back out,
it would have been all over town the next day. I'll tell you what, I saw Roger Jones walking out of Mitch's. He was so drunk he couldn't even walk. Listen, it's possible for you to make void your testimony. You can nullify your testimony. And we need to watch every move we make. We better be careful where we go, what we do, how we talk, what we wear. Because we can make void our testimony. We can nullify our testimony. You know, isn't that the way it works? Boy, there was things that we used to be condemned over. Worldliness. But just gradually, we start partaking. We start mixing. We start dabbling in sin just a little bit at a time. And we take a little step. We take another little step. We take another little step. And we take another little step. Just little steps. Lead you a long ways away from the Lord. The devil's not going to get you to take one great big old giant step. He just gradually just works on you just a little bit at a time. Little bit at a time. And before long, you're a long ways away from Him. You know, that's what happens to our young people in our churches today. Our teenagers. You know, they get up 16, 17 years old. 18. And they want to leave home. And they leave home. And they just start taking little steps at a time. A little, few little here and a little there. And now they're away from the Lord. They're out of fellowship with the Lord. They're away from the church. Isn't that the way it works?